This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We will help you keep it running, no matter how rusty it may be. Good morning to you. Welcome back to another edition of our CCO Radio Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with ASE certified master technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. You've been a master tech for a long, well, I shouldn't say a long time. It's not like you're an old guy. You're not.
I'm getting there, though. I got out of Dunwoody, I think, in 2001, and took my ASEs following that. Once you have it, you know, they're kind of, you can't just take the test and they give it to you. You have to have some time in the field or time in service. So after a couple of years, you pass your test, your certification test, and you have the time in service, then they award you the certificate. So I think I'm due for a renewal, so someone's going to have to help me study up here. I'm not under the hood, obviously, nearly as I once was, and just learning and trying to keep up with the newest technologies. You know, it's fascinating. You know, we always talk about the electric cars and the hybrids, and you know, it's fun. It keeps things exciting.
Well, yeah, I bet it does. And you mentioned kind of you're up for kind of a renewal, and I know you've got a bunch of great technicians that work for you. How often do you and your folks have to retake these tests? You say 5 years?
Yeah, they're a 5-year renewal. Obviously, the recertifications are not as in depth as the originals, you know. And I can't sit still very long. And there's 8 different tests you take, and it's hard for me to sit down that long. So I try to get them all in at one time and power through it as quickly as I can. And so far, I've been pretty good. I passed every time, but you know, there'll be that day, and then at that point, I suppose I should just hang it up. I don't know.
No. Just wait a while. Consult with us, please, before you do. In fact, this show, for those folks that don't know, maybe don't care, has been around, Nick, with all your help and our friend Dan Burns. I think we're looking at about a 30-year mark here for this particular show. But I guess who's counting? Any kind of a car care question, maybe it's something you always wanted to ask a technician, a mechanic, by all means, call us or text Nick, 651-461-9226. But keep in mind, Nick takes his leave. Our time goes by so quickly. Nick leaves us about 7:45 every Saturday, so don't wait. We'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Text came in a bit ago. It says this. I am reading this cold now. My smooth-riding sedan has not been riding smoothly when temps drop to single digits. The car hits the bumps in the streets and freeways quite hard. When the temp goes back up to around 20, car's fine. The issue did not happen in previous winters. My car's front struts were replaced about 45 months ago with aftermarket struts. Do you think the issue is strut related, or you think something else in the suspension system?
You know, it's possible. Excuse me. It is possible. You know, the question would be, an aftermarket strut isn't necessarily bad. You know, it depends on the quality, manufacturer. You know, having done this my whole adult life, you start to know what are the good brands to use in certain situations, certain applications. The other thing, too, you wonder is, like, you know, there's a lot of pivoting pieces there. There's control arms, ball joints. You start to wonder if some of those bushings are deteriorating or beginning worn, you know, kind of allowing things to bind up a little bit. And a lot of times we don't notice problems until the extremes, whether it's extreme cold or the extreme hot. So, you know, in those middle ranges or middle temperatures, the car might seem fine. But when you hit that deep cold freeze, which, you know, it's early in the winter and we got a little taste here, well, I'm sure we'll get more, you'll notice some of those things, whether it's the suspension or even the vehicle starting. And so my advice would be, when you're in for service after the holidays, mention that to them, or maybe look at the forecast, schedule an appointment around a cold snap ahead of time so you can get in and see if they don't experience what you are and give you some advice.
Very good. Let's grab a phone call. I think we have a guy by the name of Dan on the phone calling in, who's on the road. Dan, good morning. Where are you, and who the heck is this Dan?
I'm on the road from 35 into Iowa from Minnesota, so headed to Colorado for Christmas.
Outstanding. Well, be safe. And what's your question for Nick?
I've got a 2000 Silverado 1500 four-wheel drive pickup. And what I've noticed over the last year is that during maybe 75% into an oil change, I get a low oil indicator. And I'm just curious if that's something that is common in the newer Chevy pickups, the 5.3-liter engines. It's a little concerning to me that all of a sudden I've got these low oil messages that come up. I had a Chevy Silverado prior for 15 years and never had an issue with oil levels.
You know, the easiest way to answer that is, and it's not just Chevrolet, I would say there's a lot of manufacturers that we tend to see where they're starting to use some oil. When I say use oil, it's starting to burn it. You don't notice it out the tailpipe because the emission systems and the converters do such a good job of cleaning the exhaust that we don't see it. So if someone's having an experience with their vehicle where, like, you know, it's starting to be low on oil, or I'm getting this indicator, if you look in the owner's manual, it's going to be different from manufacturer to manufacturer, but they will state that it says there's an acceptable amount of oil consumption in a period of time. Honestly, my opinion, I think it's too soon. I actually myself bought a new truck this last fall, and my old truck, which my brother Tim has now, you know, that truck never used a quart of oil. I mean, it would go, and I change every 5,000 miles. I use a good synthetic oil. It would take it 6 quarts of oil. It was a 6-liter, same manufacturer, and it's never done on oil. Reading through the owner's manual of my new truck, there's a bulletin stating that through 3 tanks of fuel, it's acceptable to get through a quart of oil. And I'm like, well, that's my truck doesn't get very good gas mileage, so that's not very long. And it's a lot of it with the design, a lot of the emission standards, you know, they're trying to get fuel economy. The tolerances are so tight that, you know, sometimes at these low tension rings allow a little oil to leak through, and then obviously it starts to burn it. So, you know, we need to be very vigilant in keeping our oil full, because I can share with you, obviously, we see the other side of that situation where people get too low on oil, and we see some mechanical failure or damage to an engine that is extremely costly. So, you know, look up on it, read up on it, keep an eye on the oil level, you know, and just keep it topped up, or when you're at your shop or for service, have them check the oil, obviously, which they should before they change it, and see where it's at. And if it's still full, and then you start to see, well, it was a half a quart down, that's kind of a sign to you to say, maybe halfway through the service, I should check the level.
All right. Dan, have a safe trip. Thanks for the phone call. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question for Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Here's one. In fact, maybe we'll take a break, but I'll pose the question. Is it a good idea, Texter says, to jump another vehicle with cables with my new truck? Maybe we could clarify as quickly as you can when we come back. The proper procedure for using jumper cables, a simplified version, and we'll do that when we come back. This is our Car Care Show on CCO Radio every Saturday, thanks to Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's, joining us, helping our listeners out every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break. Right now in the Twin Cities, again, we are on our way to about 18 degrees today, 30 tomorrow, but right now partly cloudy, 4 above, from News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Also, welcome to winter. Officially, winter came in at 3:21 Central Time this morning. And it feels like it. 4 above now. We're going to hit about 18 later today, but warmer tomorrow will be about 30. We'll have a look at that forecast coming along in just a matter of minutes. In the midst of our Car Care Show, Denny Long here along with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. And again, Nick, we always like to find out for folks that maybe need the assistance with you and your crew at Lloyd's. How do we find you?
Yes, and as you know, Denny, we're at 982 Grand Avenue. That's on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. So if you're out doing a little shopping this next week before the holidays, stop and say hi. If you have a question, don't hesitate to call. We're at 651-228-1316. And as always, check out our website, and that's lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. We'll get you that information when Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 this morning. We have a bunch of texts. We have callers as well. I think Sandy's on the phone from Egan. Good morning. Good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning, guys. Good job. We have a 2011 Infiniti GX37, which is a beautiful little car, less than 40,000 miles on it. You could believe that. But recently, the brake light indicator on the dash, the red one, intermittently comes on and then goes off after a few seconds. Usually when you see a red light, it's a scary thought. But your thoughts on that as to what it might be, and do we can we drive it okay and go from there?
You know, we need to have a look at it, obviously. The first thing you can do is open the hood, look at the reservoir for the brake fluid. If the brake fluid is full, I feel better that there's not a leak. If the pedal feels good and strong as always, that's another reassuring item there. Now, typically the two reasons, the most common two reasons why I'll have that light come on is that the fluid level in the reservoir is a little bit low. There's a little float in there. If it gets low, it's telling you that it's low on fluid, which once again would mean that there'd be leaks somewhere. The other thing, too, can be the parking brake. And it happens to all of us from time to time. Depending if you have that pull handle, which could be accidentally pulled up, you know, if you're monkeying around on that center console, or if you're getting in out of the vehicle and you happen to push on the pedal on the far left there near the door jamb, not completely engaging, but just enough to make that switch satisfied to turn the light on. So I would ask of you is to, you know, go out, find the, you know, the parking brake, whether it's the handle on your, in the center console, go up and down maybe once or twice, make sure it's firmly seated down, or if it's the pedal, a lot of times you tap the pedal again to release, or there's a release handle, exercise that. And then, like I said, pop the hood, check the fluid level. If those items are fine, you need to get it in to have it tested, but likely one of those two areas is where your problem lies.
Very good. Before we broke, in fact, a texter wanted to know about the process of jumper cables. Maybe you could give us kind of a quick tutorial.
Yeah, you know, you can definitely jump start your vehicle. Make sure you watch a couple videos. Make sure you follow the proper procedure, because every year there's a few times that where something's incorrectly jump started. And there are fuses in place, which most often will catch the problem, but sometimes there's just enough of a spark going the wrong way where you could damage something permanently. So if you're not confident in being able to do it, don't. And it's, you know, I think it's quite simple. Of course, this is what I do. But usually we start with the good vehicle. We'll get the positive, which is the red on the red, the negative on the black, which is a negative of the battery terminals, and make sure you identify those properly, because most often the problems we see is because they're crisscrossed. And then at the other end, make sure those cable ends are not touching, because if you touch, you'll short them, and that could create a problem on the good vehicle. So you're not touching them. You put the positive onto the battery, which is the red on the battery again, and then the negative, there'll be a spot on the engine, or if you can't access that, to the battery, and the negative. I'd like to increase the engine RPM of the running vehicle, you know, just a little bit, you're not revving the engine, but just get it off idle, allow that alternator to put out some current, so, you know, 1,500, 2,000 RPMs, give it a few moments. While you're doing that, or someone's doing that, you go to the dead vehicle and attempt to start it. If that doesn't work, you can give it another few minutes, or not minutes, moments, 30 seconds of letting that other car that's running to charge the battery. Try it again. If that's not working at that point, you should probably have it towed, because there might be something more going on here. But the biggest thing is make sure you don't crisscross those cable ends. If you can't identify the positive on the battery, do not guess. Stop, have it towed in. And make sure you don't touch the cable ends together and create a short and an arcing. So that's the two biggest things.
But you're right. It's amazing with these days. You can see videos that explain the right thing. You can actually see the process. So do that. How long? Here's one you hear often. How long does it take to warm up my RAV4 hybrid in the cold after 24 hours of sitting out there?
You know, this is a really strong opinionated question. I believe that the vehicle's happy after a couple moments, you know, a few seconds, enough to get the fluids moving around, get the lubrication started. Now, as the people driving the vehicle or sitting in the vehicle, we'd like for it to be a little bit warmer, especially on that cold morning. Keep in mind, do not leave your keys in a vehicle that's unattended. I'm pretty sure it's against a lot of the local laws and rules, and there's good reasons for that. If you have the remote start, you know, you can remote start it. Usually those will run for 10 minutes or so. So if you want to give it a few minutes to let the engine warm up to create some heat, there's no problem in that. Obviously, it's built into the vehicle, so it's fine. But once again, the vehicle itself, after a few moments, is happy. So if you're willing to sit in the cold car, you'll be just fine.
Texter says, Nick, I usually get gas when my tank is at half full. Is that okay, or should I wait until it gets lower? I was told I'm always leaving old gas in my tank. What do you think about this time of year, and is that rule of thumb still a pretty good idea?
I agree. It costs just as much money to drive around with a full tank as an empty tank, they say. There's other things, too. The fuel helps lubricate and cool the fuel pump, which is mounted inside the fuel tank. You get on the road on a cold day or a slippery day, and you end up stranded somewhere in the car. You know, you're stuck, I should say. It'd be nice to have enough fuel to keep the car running, to keep you warm. I'm sure, you know, I don't know how to say you have bad or old fuel in the tank, because you're cycling through. If you're driving on a regular daily basis, you're getting through the fuel. There's no concern. If the car's sitting for 6 months at a time or longer, maybe that's a different conversation. But for anyone that's driving the car to work or to school or wherever, if you're in a regular routine, I think getting to half a tank is a good idea to top it up. And I don't think you need to worry about the fuel going bad and create any problem.
Very good. Nick, hang on. We're going to have a look at that forecast, which will include Christmas Day. So stay with us. We have more time for your car care questions, and we have more texts that have arrived. We'll get to those in just a moment. 651-461-9226. From Newstalk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long along with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul answering those car care questions. And we have a phone caller, and we'll get some more text messages for you to answer, too. Frank is calling in this morning from St. Paul, I do believe. Frank, thanks for waiting. What is your question for Nick?
We are senior citizen, and I have 2000 Honda CR-V. It has 186,000 miles in it. At first, the check engine light was blinking. The other day I was driving, and now check engine light is on all the time, and engine is smoking. So what is your next opinion?
Well, the first thing, Frank, is reminder, I guess, the best way to put it. If the check engine light is flashing, you should not be driving the vehicle. That means that there's a significant potential damaging misfire that could be catalyst damaging, which means obviously there's a misfire, but it could be creating more problems within the engine and with the converter. So there you need to stop. If it's smoking, it could be leaking something. If you're noticing the smoking, it's probably fairly significant. Another reason why you really shouldn't be driving the vehicle. And then the light is still on, which is good and bad. Good because there's some information stored there that we can figure out what's going on. So my advice to you is, I know we have the holiday next week. If you're planning on going on taking that vehicle for any kind of driving, I would say you need to get in before that. So you need to get on the phone or get online, try to find an appointment somewhere here this weekend or the very beginning of next week to figure out what's going on. So, it's some sort of misfire. The smoking, I don't know. Obviously, it depends. I'd have to get the hood open. But I would advise you to get it on somebody's schedule very soon so you don't want to create problems that become much worse and much more expensive for yourself.
Yeah, well, that engine, check engine light's flashing. Beware. Let's grab one more call, then we'll get some text. James calling in from Plymouth, I believe, this morning. James, you're on CCO. What is your question?
I've noticed there's two things that you need in your life. That's a good wife and a great mechanic. the question I have is I have an 84 Riviera that I inherited, and the fuel's been in for about a year. Is there any additive I could use?
I don't know if it works after the year, but I myself, when I have, you know, my my ATV or my an old car that I'm going to let sit over the winter, I like to put some stable, and I know there's other products out there in with the fuel to kind of help stabilize it, keep it from breaking down. I'm not sure how effective it is once the car's been sitting, and maybe when our listeners know, or maybe you can do a little research online. Obviously, an old vehicle like that, I would not tell you to go out on the salty roads and drive it. If it's in a detached garage, maybe you can put some in the fuel tank and kind of run the vehicle to try to get it circulating. You know, going forward, I would tell you once you get fresh fuel in it, you're going to store it for the winter. I would put some stable in it, but I don't have the exact answer on something that's already been sitting for a while. Sorry.
I like his line about the wife and the mechanic. That's never heard that one, but I agree. Tire shop told this listener it's the last year for snow tires. They've plenty of tread, but are 9 years old. Is this accurate? Do tires expire after 10 years, even with low miles?
Maybe. I don't know an exact expiration date. I will tell you, though, that as tires age, the rubber compound does change, so they're not very effective. So I guess maybe what they were trying to describe is that, you know, these tires are 10 years old. They don't have the same pliability or able to grip like they did when they were new. And obviously, the winter tires don't wear as fast because in the winter months, roads are cold and covered in snow often. And obviously, 10 years, so you know, I'm assuming that this listener texter is not driving much in general. So I would say I would get maybe a second opinion. Maybe you take those tires off, have a better explanation. I don't want to tell you need to replace them without seeing them, but it might not be the worst advice either. So kind of case by case, depending on the tires themselves.
Very good. We were talking about jumper cables earlier. This listener wants to know, can two sets of jumper cables be connected to cover the distance between the two cars?
I'm going to say no, just because it doesn't seem like a good idea. However, I would probably do it. So I don't you know,
if you need to.
If this is what you do and you're in a pinch, there's things that we do that most people shouldn't. And we all have our field of expertise that we're confident and comfortable doing things that are not advised. So I would say my real work answer would be no. My real life answer would be, like, if I was there, I would help you. So there you go.
Very good. Thanks for the show. Texter says you're welcome. I have a 2024 Honda CR-V hybrid, 10,000 miles on it. When backing out of the garage in the morning, the brakes squeak. This hasn't been uncommon after driving in wet weather, but now it's doing it more frequently, even after normal driving, but only when backing up. Any ideas what might be causing this? So we're talking about a cold morning, brake squeaking when backing out.
So likely what we have is, especially with the temperatures, you know, it's a little bit colder today and supposed to warm up a little bit, and you kind of fluctuate around that freezing temperature. You have a lot of humidity in the air, condensation. You create a little bit of surface, it's a little corrosion on those brake rotors. And our brake pads are ceramic, but there's some semi-metallic material in there too, so you have a little bit of metal in there also. And when you're backing up for the very first time of the day, and I don't know why it's backing up, it seems like that's the most common thing that we hear from folks, but it's just cleaning off that rotor surface. If it is absolutely when you pull out of the garage and that's it, I wouldn't worry about it. It's not creating any damage, nothing to be alarmed about. It's just cleaning off that surface. You know the brakes are applying properly, and then it goes away. If it's something more frequent, or you're like, you know, because I referenced my pickup, and my old pickup, it would seem like I would drive down the block and I'd get to the first corner, hit my brakes, it would squeak, but then I'd make my left and get to the stoplight and there was nothing. So, you know, it's maybe a bit of annoyance, and, you know, we can definitely, somebody can take them apart, re-lubricate, check the pins, the slides, the mounting surfaces, the clips, all those things, and if they're all clean and lubricated, it might be just a matter that when we have these temperatures, there's a little bit of surface corrosion that needs to clean off. So I wouldn't be too worried.
Very good. Just a reminder, Nick, we have a bunch of text messages we probably won't get to, I'm sure of it. So what I'll do, like we did in the past, is I will print these out, and we will open up the show next week, the Saturday after Christmas, with those we did not get to. So I apologize for that. Here's another one, though, we may have time for. There's a 2021 Toyota Venza. had new cross-climate tires put on and the alignment. Seems to pull to the left a bit since. The shop double-checked the alignment, said it was fine. Yesterday, the vehicle shimmied at about 50 miles an hour, then later in the day was just fine. I thought maybe ice got stuck somewhere. Any thoughts on the alignment?
Well, a couple of things. Just to clarify, an alignment will not create a vibration or a shimmy. A drifting can happen. I would tell you if it's favoring one way or the other, you can try swapping the tires left to right. See what happens. If it continues to go the same way, then we have something with the alignment or a control arm or suspension steering component. If it follows the tire, meaning if it goes from left to right and then it pulls the way, there's something with one of those tires. So this is a little tidbit, a way to test to try to figure out what we're dealing with here. We do get those questions when we get snow about vibration highway speeds, because snow will get packed in the wheel area, kind of knocks it out of balance. You drive it, you know, it warms up, it, you know, things happen, and the snow works its way out of that wheel area and it goes away. So if that's the case, you're likely just fine. And going forward through the winter, if you notice after a big snowfall the next day or the next morning you're driving and you have a bit of a vibration, obviously get out, walk around, take a look at things. But my suspicion is just a lot of that snow and ice caked into that wheel area, and it'll work its way out. So have them check the tires left to right, recheck the alignment, and then the vibration's likely just a little snow packed in there.
Nick, that's going to do it for the show today. How about coming back right after Christmas?
That sounds like a plan.
In the meantime, for those folks that maybe need the assistance of Lloyd's Automotive, tell us how we find you guys.
Yes, sir. So if you have a question, don't hesitate to call. We're at 651-228-1316. And if you're like me and you're doing last-minute Christmas shopping here in the next few days, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. That's in St. Paul, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And please do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
And, Nick, Merry Christmas to you and your family and all the good folks at Lloyd's Automotive. And we will talk 1 week from today.
That sounds great. You too, Danny.
Thanks so much. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.